2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And before we start to read, I want to ask you to bow your heads for prayer. Our Father, we love you for the grace that you have given us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who you willingly sent to become a man so that he could die for the sins of men. We ask that you bless the reading of your word today. We ask you to open up hearts that are here to listen and those that are listening on the television. We ask that you let them receive the message that you have for them, for Christ's sake. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, it'd be good if I got there, wouldn't it? Most of you know this 2 Timothy 2:15, which we're going to quote in a minute, and you know 2 Timothy 3:16, which we're going to get involved in here, but there's a lot that's connected with those passages of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 14, where it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We're going to concentrate on this man of God. But in order to be able to get to where we want to be at the man of God, there are some things that you need to know. First of all, there are three aspects of man. Ephesians 4, verse 22. And you'll have to excuse me, I'll keep wiping my nose because it's down here in Louisiana, I've got my dripping again, so here it's going. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, what's the next three words? The old man, which is what? Corrupt, and what? According to the deceitful lust. This old man that is spoken of, we're going to talk about, is just a natural man. It's just a person that comes into this world and they're born as a natural man. Until they accept Christ as their Savior, that's what they're going to be. Just a natural man. Who is this old man? Well, there are two components of the old man. First of all, there's that good old guy, old man. Okay? He's the guy that's just as nice, and when I say guy, girls, I'm talking about people, okay? So basically, we could probably say child, okay? A child or a natural child, whatever it is. So what we have is he's a good guy, and he's upstanding in the community. He's joined Kiwanis Club, and not only that, but probably is a member of Lions Club as well, and he might be a member of the Optimist Club. In other words, he's one of those kind of guys that gets involved in his community. And so consequently, everybody likes him. It's just natural. They just like that guy, kind of like me, you know. Anyway, but it's a natural likeness. He's good. He probably gives graciously to various different charities and that kind of thing. And he helps the poor, probably. That's the good guy of the natural old man. Now, what about the same natural man, but it's the bad side? And on the bad side, we have this person who has an atrocious temper. No one can stand to be around him. People see him and turn, go the other direction. That kind of guy. He doesn't give to any cause, whether it be church or charity or otherwise, and he's just notoriously bad. Now, how can it be that we've got this natural man that can be either or, either good or bad, but it is. Most importantly, he's a man that has no relationship to God, okay? He is what we call lost without Christ in this world. Ephesians chapter 2, if you're still there in Ephesians, go to 2. Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time, ye, this old man, this natural man, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That's who you are. Who is this natural man? In other words, what it's saying here is, Paul is telling these Ephesians, hey, that man didn't have any ties with anything of the promises, of the commandments, of any of those kinds of things, of God in particular. He's just plain lost. And that's what you were before you were saved. Whether or not you were a good lost person or a bad lost person is immaterial at this point. The fact is, you're lost. And you need to do something to get right in relationship to God. Sadly, there are too many of these lost people sitting in church pews today. They might think that they aren't. The fact is, probably greater than 70% of the people who sit in church pews today are just church pew sitters. Nothing else. They're lost and they're going straight to hell. Oh yeah, I do believe that there is a hell. I believe you're either going to be in heaven living eternally with God the Father, or you're going to be in hell in torment, suffering, weeping and wailing and gnashing of the teeth. That's who they are. Okay, so let me give you a fact about this old man. It's of no improvement. You got this? No improvement of our old nature is of any value whatsoever with our standing before God. I'm going to be talking about standing. Right now. And I'm going to be talking about something else. You're going to be talking about state a little later. There's a difference between a standing and a state. Don't you agree? Go ahead and nod your head like this. All right. Yes, there is a difference between standing and state. What does, if you are a new Christian, for instance, there is always the chance that you say, well, I'm not as good as so-and-so is, you know? But you are. Just because someone gets up here and preaches or teaches doesn't mean that I have a greater standing with God than you do. My standing in God is based upon the fact that I trusted what Christ did for me. I trusted in the faith of Christ. I put my trust in the fact that he came willingly to die on the cross for my sins. So I don't care if you every time the church door opens and you're there, or you're out doing something, or if you've organized a men's retreat or a ladies' retreat or whatever it is, that doesn't make you any better in the sight of God as far as standing is concerned. We are all one. Look at Romans chapter 8. Now, don't get me wrong, we're going to get to state here in a minute. We're going to see that, yeah, there is some distinct advantage in doing things for the Lord, but we're talking about just standing. Okay? Romans 8, 8. So then, they that are in the flesh can always please God. What does it say? Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now go with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 21. No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Do you really? What it's saying is, you take an old piece of cloth and relate it to the old man, and you take this new bright red piece, because there's a hole in the knee of these pants, and we put that red, new red piece over that pants leg. You know what's going to happen? It ain't going to do nothing but make that pants leg worse a little bit later on, because it's going to tear, because see, you can't tie up those new threads most of the time with a new piece. So what's that tell me? That tells me you can take this old natural body that we have, you can dress it up with a pretty smile on your face, and when you walk into the auditorium and there's that collection plate out there, you pop that $100 bill in there and you make sure that the 100 is face up so everybody can see it, that kind of thing, and that makes you better than someone else? It doesn't. You can't dress up this old man, folks. You can do all good things that you want to, but you're still an old, natural, lost human being. You just can't dress up that which you are not. You can't be something you are not. You're still a lost, natural, old man. There's no such thing as a higher or a lower Christian in life. Why? Because Christ is in the life of every believer. You got the same as everybody else does. You understand that? You may not go to church regularly, but you still got a standing that is equal to the person who goes every time. That's what I want you to see, that there is something about this old person, this lost person, that's never going to change. And once you get saved and are in Christ, we're going to see what you can do. But you'll never improve the old man. Got that? Some of you are shaking your head this way. Some of you are looking like you're stupid or whatever it is. But I get it. I get it. So, there are some believers who pray more, who show more of the Spirit in their lives, but their standing is the same. Our standing is settled. We who have believed in the faith of Christ all have one standing. We are in Christ's Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is so good to be able to stand up here and not be confined with the time constraints that we are at Bible conferences. 1 I usually rush through so many times that I don't even get my point across. But I've already found out here I can stay as long as that I can keep these words coming out of my mouth. So if you got a roast in the oven over there, you might as well forget about it because that ain't going to burn. We're going to go till we get through. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. There are two men here. First stands in contrast to the last. Okay? The first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam, of course, is Adam and Eve relationship. The second Adam is Jesus Christ. And that's what we have here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be, what's the next two words? In Christ, he is a new creation. There are some translations that say creation, right? But we know, don't we? It's the King James Bible. It says is a new creature. Now think about this. What it's saying here is that God has taken something and made something completely brand new out of. And that's you and I who have trusted Christ as our Savior. We are a new creature. You got that? Does that mean we're going to lose the old man? Nope. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Watch this. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yet old things are passed away, but the old nature is still there. And if you don't dress it up, folks, guess what? It'll show itself most of the time. And that's when we talk about dressing up that we're going to get to this over here. Okay? Let's see about that. Now go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Those of you who have been around me a long time, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I know that I told you this time after time after time after time again. If you're going to memorize one passage of Scripture, you ought to memorize this passage of Scripture. How many of you can quote it? Oh, I wasn't going to put you on the spot, right? All right, look at it. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? Yet not I, what? But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I expect you to have that memorized by Wednesday night. This is fundamental, good, sound doctrine. It tells us what we are. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you believe it? Then act like it. Act like it. That's the big thing. It's the old man, the first man, becoming religious is nothing more than a profession of doctrines of a denomination. That's all religion is, folks. Doctrine of a denomination. Christianity means the death, burial of the first man, the old man becoming a new creature in Christ. I must be either in the first man or the second man. You know why? Because there ain't no third man. You either is or you either ain't. It's just that simple. It's kind of like back in my earlier days in Alexandria, Louisiana, I used to sing. I was part of an evangelistic team. There was a young man that was an evangelist, and I would sing, and had a guy by the name of David Martin that would play the piano. And this was Second Bethlehem Baptist Church, right in the heart of an area that was known as the Quarters. And that preacher told me, he says, well, said you is either or. It's kind of like putting two cats in the bag. One of them is a black cat, and the other one is a white cat. And however you is going to act is whichever one of them cats you let out of the bag. Which one are you? Okay? White cat? Black cat. It's important. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Oh, but Obed, you're getting in all those books. It's not necessarily Pauline. Well, la-dee-da. Didn't we just say over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? What does it say here? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, Christ, so are we in this world. Some point in time, every one of you here had to make a decision whether or not you were going to trust Christ. I'm reminded of a song. I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. And then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go, take me instead, and I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. That's us, isn't it? What a great lyrics in this writer. And at one time, I used to sing that pretty good. I'm a little emotional today, so. And 40 years older. So, it makes a difference. Linda and I have been cleaning out our closet, and we came across a cassette, 1976. Do you realize that's 1 year after I came here? I was 39 years old, and there were 17 songs on that cassette, and that was one of them, and it just hit me. I used to sing that here back over when we were in Denham Springs or Jones Creek or wherever we were at the time, but it meant something to me then. So I got Wayne to copy him over for me on the CD. So if you'd like to have a copy, it's just $100 a piece, and we'll make sure you get it. No, not for sale. So what the fact is that I am in Him and He is in me, and my standing, folks, is secure, and no one else has a better standing than I do, okay? As He is, so are we in this world. Do you get that? As He is. And who was He? Son of God. What did He do? He left His home in glory, right? Came down to earth to become a man so that He could shed His blood and die for our sins. That's who he is. Go to Romans chapter 6. And I want you to look carefully as we read several verses in here about this person. That once we are saved and we are in Christ, what it is about us. So we got Romans chapter 6. And let me just start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are, watch these, are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. Therefore, we are, what? Buried with him, Christ, by baptism into death. That like as Christ was, see this, raised, how? Up from the dead, and by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our, here it is, old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be modified, destroyed. Do you get that? That this body of sin might be destroyed, but henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. You should read those passages of Scripture over and over again until you get it into your head. And if his heart is mine, it'll take quite a bit of reading. So you need to read those things. You are dead in Christ, yet alive, because he rose from the grave. There are far too many who have professed to believe in the atoning work of Christ, but who have not looked beyond the fact that their sins are forgiven. They don't see that their sins are buried. They don't see that their sins have been vanquished. How many times over the years, and I've been doing this now over 40 years, how many times have I heard people say, well, you just don't know, you know, I've done too much for God to even love me. No, he could never forgive that because I just keep on doing it again and again. Well, if you are truly saved, guess what? Your standing with God is secure. Your sins are only going to keep you out of a state relationship with him. And that's important. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, we're going to go back to those verses again, starting with verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be throughly furnished unto all good works. 17, watch this. That the man of God, right, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Perfect, 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 perfect. Your standing is secured eternally once you have trusted Christ as your Savior. There are so many people out there in this world who profess to believe in the atoning work, but they don't really believe it. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And let me see where I want to go. Verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, and I'm going to put a little old Greek word in here. I'm not trying to impress you with my knowledge of Greek. I don't have that much knowledge of Greek. But this word if here in the Greek, in the beginning of that, is an aorist tense, which means if it is, and in fact it is. Okay? So here's the fact is, if, and you are, if what? You be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Why, as though living in the world, you are subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, do this, do that. You could go on with that. Which are to be to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And that doctrines of men there could just very well be denominational creeds. Okay? Doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a, watch this, a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These little things that people do just shows that they've got a what? I got a will to do it. I'll do it if I want to, and I'll do it if I don't want to. What the scripture's saying, that's just showing off your flesh. That's all it's doing. Now look at chapter 3, verse 1. If, and there again is that aorist tense, if and it is, ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are, look at it again, ye are dead, and your life is, what's that next word? Hid with Christ in God. You understand what that hiding is? Whatever it is you do out here is hid as far as God is concerned. All he's looking for is how you're going to produce. Now, if you don't know this verse, and I won't have you not even go there, turn to it, but I want to have you quote 1 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shame on you for not knowing that. Study. What does that mean? Study. Tell me what it means. Come on now, you can do it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. If you're going to be approved unto God, you got to do something. You got to study. Actually, the word actually implies that diligently laboring, studying. For those of you who it's hard to remember things, it's hard to read at all, it means get through it. Okay? Yeah, it's pain and it's agony and all of that, but you've got to do it. Why? Because it's to your betterment to have done it. Diligently study to show thyself approved. That means to be what? Approved of by the Lord. A workman, that's just a plain old worker who cuts through the word of truth. How do you do that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Ooh. Bart, I'm not sure I'm going to finish at 12, but we'll try. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. This is Paul. I believe outside Jesus Christ himself is the greatest believer in this Bible. And this is what he went through. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had suffered so much at the hands of so many believers. Now he's telling Timothy, be careful. If you're going to be a man of God, you're most likely going to suffer. When I was here at the Bible conference, I made some very harsh statements. I'm sorry about some of those, but I'm not sorry for some. The fact is that the man of God is going to struggle. You're left with an elite group of people. Some are not here. They don't need to be here. But you're here. And you need to support this ministry like you've never supported it before. You need to support it in the prayers. You need to support it every facet. Support. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and let's look at verse 3. And I'm going to be winding up here shortly. Here's what Paul had to say. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I meant 1 Timothy. I didn't think that looked very good. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with, what's the next two word? Pure conscience. Folks, now listen to me. You have got, if you're going to be of service, you have got to have a pure conscience. That means that these worldly ideas that have superseded up to this point, you've got to put on the back burner. You've got to have a pure conscience. Yeah, you might have done something in your lifetime that you're not proud of, but forget about it and move on. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to have a pure conscience from this day forward. Get out there. Now also look at verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the next two words, unfeigned faith. So a pure conscience and unfeigned faith are necessary ingredients to withstand the evil that is in this world. Do you have that? There's a difference in what religion thinks about fellowship and what divine fellowship is all about. To be in the latter, divine fellowship, one must be rooted and grounded in the Word. All of the Word. You understand? From Genesis through Revelation, you need to be grounded. Religious Christian fellowship is nothing more than religious gossip. When we're talking about, oh, well, they have a lot of fellowship going on and everything like that, and that's what I love about it. And I love that choir. I mean, they're 50 strong, and they're just fantastic. That ain't nothing but religious gospel. People talking about that kind of thing and not spending time talking about Christ is a problem. You see, when we fellowship one with the other, if we're not Christ-centric, guess what? It doesn't have the value for promoting the cause of Christ. Do we spend more time telling people why they don't need to be baptized than we do about telling them about Christ? Well, I remember once, one person in particular in this group of past believers back in 1980 or something like that, faithful to get out there and talk about Christ, but then he got on this thing about, you know why you shouldn't be baptized? Turn them off. Is that as important an issue as telling them what they need to do to trust Christ as a Savior? Yes, we pride ourselves in rightly dividing the word of truth, and which is great. It's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. It helped me to understand my Bible, and that's what's important. You know what this whole Bible is about? There's three words it's about. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all this Bible is about. And if you're not talking about Him, you're talking about trash. You're gossiping. We're living in times that stretch our Christian resolve. The very fabric of our Christian belief is being trodden down by the ISISes of this world and whatever. This is the time to stand firm for who you are and in whom you are. You're dead with Christ. You're buried with Christ. And you're raised from the dead with Christ. Go forth and proclaim that. Do you believe that you're crucified with Christ and yet you live? And yet it's not you, but it's Christ that's living in you? And the life which you now live in the flesh, do you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you? If not, you ought to be. Our Father and our God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for these who are here. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. We ask that You help each and every one of us to achieve the desired goal of being better and being men of God, children of God. And we know we cannot be that which Timothy was for Paul unless we know the truth of the word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.